Thank you very much. And first of all, I would like to take this opportunity to greet you all and welcome you all. And also, I would like to take this opportunity to thank the organizers, helpers, sponsors who worked very hard arranging my trip here in Twin City. It is a great joy for me to visit this place because I have been here a number of times and it's very beautiful in many ways. So I'm very happy to be once again here in Twin City. And then tonight I've been asked to speak about the environment in perspective, Buddhist perspective. So for this I see that the most important thing is that the life is precious, because the life is very precious from our own point of view. I mean, life that which we have is very precious, because we always worry about losing this life. We worry about falling sick, fall sick, or we worry about somebody may attack us. We worry something may happen to us. And so therefore, we make every effort to save our life. So our life is very precious. There's no more precious than one's own life. Not from the religious point of view, but even in the worldly point of view, the life is most precious. And likewise, everyone, every human being, every living being, also, they think their own life is very precious. And we do not want to lose this life. We wish to sustain and continue as long as possible. And so therefore, it is very important this the environment and life are connected to each other. So therefore, I think it's very, very important to think about this. So from the Buddhist teachings, especially in the Mahayana teachings, says that we have the body and the mind. Body is easy to describe. We know from where this body came from. It came from our parents, and how it is formed, how it is developed, and how it is maintained. And at the end, and so the body is something visible. We can describe its size and its color and its shape, somebody's the beauty, ugly, and so on. And also, when we leave this world, the body will be disposed in one way or another. But the mind is something very different. Mind is, we cannot see with our naked eyes, and no, we could not touch with our hands. No, we can't describe the size of the mind, the color of the mind, and the shape of the mind. Yet, mind is the most powerful. Without mind, the body is the dead body. So with the mind, it is the mind that does everything. Everything works with the mind. It is the mind that do all the good things. And it is mind that do also all the bad things. And it is the mind that experience happiness, enjoys the happiness, and it is the mind that also suffers, experience sufferings. So the most important thing is the mind. And this mind, where it comes from, how it is formed. So according to the teachings, that mind has no beginning as such. So we refer to as a beginningless time, as we say, beginningless. So it, one person, individual mind, this person's mind began at this time. You can't say, because this mind is invisible. Mind is not just something that can see. And so therefore, it is something that all the way continued. Same mind and body are very different. So the mind that is invisible, indescribable, could not arise from such thing as like the visible physical body or visible like elements or anything like that. So the mind has to have its own same kind of line, same kind of continuity. So with this, one can establish that there is a life before our present life. So from that life, although the previous body is exposed in one way or another, but the consciousness or the mind continued and enter into present body. So presently, our mind is residing in this body. But when we leave this world, the present body again will be disposed in one way or another, but the mind could not dispose. Mind cannot be cremated or buried or something could not happen because it is invisible. Invisible could not make it disappear. So this very powerful mind again continues and enters into another life. So that, with that we can establish future lives. So this goes on, as I'm sure many of you are already familiar, we call the wheel of life. The wheel of life means the wheel turns and then turns one and then again it turns and goes on and on. Like that, life also there's no beginning as such. It just goes on and on. So we have taken life from the beginningless time until now, innumerable times. And again, in the future also, that we are continue to take the same life again and again. Unless we attain the liberation or enlightenment. And so therefore the life goes on all the time. So there's not a single place where one is not born, because it keeps changing. Wherever our karma or the defilements and the winds of karma blows, then one has to be there. We have no choice. So therefore it goes on. So there's not a single place in anywhere in the universe where one is not born. We are born in everywhere. And at the same time, there's not a single sentient being who did not become our parents, our friends, or partners, and children, and so on. So, but due to the change of life, we do not recognize each other. And we see some as our friends, and some as our enemies, some as indifferent. But in reality, every sentient being is our very dear ones, but we could not recognize each other. And we see some as enemies and so on. But in reality, every sentient being, including our presently most hated enemies, are also our very dear ones. It's just because we could not recognize each other. And so therefore, not only the life is precious for yourself, but also the life is precious for every living beings, tiny, almost invisible insects or worms, up to the gods. The every life is very precious. So this, I think, is most important to realize, everybody, that the life is very precious, because life is precious to oneself, so therefore, life is precious for the others also. It's just like when you think of, when you reciprocate, when you think about your own feelings, we can learn from how every individual also has the same kind of feelings. And so therefore, we have to think the life is precious and how to protect, how to make life this. So this then expand. Now, if the life is precious, then we must protect where we live. We could not leave the place where there's no water, no trees, and so on. So therefore, whole environment problems are connected with the life. And the Lord Buddha is the founder of the environmentalist, because that Buddha in his Vinaya, which means the monks' rules, when you become monks or nuns, then there are rules, there are different rules. And among these rules is that you can't cut trees, you can't cut leaves, you can't cut flowers, you can't disturb the forest, you can't make dirty the rivers, you can't make dirty the grass. So all this is all the protections that need, the environment protections that we talk about in the present days, in long, long time ago, Buddha has already laid as a rule for the Buddhist monks and the nuns. And so therefore, and also, of course, Buddha said that the living beings, every living being's life is very precious, especially in the Mahayana, every living being is our parents, so we must repay the love and the kindness and the benefit that you receive from them. And even our enemies or obstacles who are doing harms to us, who are creating troubles to us, because they are also actually our very dear ones, because we did not recognize them, instead of paying back their kindness and love that we paid with anger. So therefore, they are appearing as enemies. So in the Buddhist teachings, actually, the love and the compassion that describes is infinite. There is no exceptions. You must love to everybody, the known ones, unknown ones, near ones, far ones, loved ones, and hated ones. Everybody should have the equal love and compassion to every sentient beings. And now, the world, present world, we are facing, have many problems, environmental problems, and there are many people. I also have many friends who are very worried about the environment because they say, after so and so and so many years, the world will be very like desert, and it will not. There will be no water. There will be no trees. There will be no rain, and in fact, there will be so many pollutions and so on, even difficult to breathe. So that everybody have to carry cylinders, oxygen to breathe, and so on. So many people worry about this. So therefore it is very important to think about them, and to think about the future, especially the human beings, and in terms of in worldly way, our own siblings and our own children, the future children, the grandchildren, and so on, that will go on their life. So therefore, them, we have to think about their problems, and we have to make something to make changes. And then, so therefore, in the Buddhist teachings, I find that it is much more deeper and wider and exclusive. Everything is included. But in terms of practice, of course, Buddhist people mainly devote the time and energy in inner practice, like meditations and so on. So they do not have so much activities as going on, whereas the environmentalists are very active and they do things. They do really help animals, plants, and so on. But then there is the difference between the modern environmentalist and Buddhist is that one is more practical, Buddhist is much more deeper and wider. Because the modern environmentalists, although they consider life is precious, and they consider is important, so they're active, they are very active. They literally, though, they don't just talk about, but they really actively go in the field and practice. But then it's not total. For example, like in India, many people are worried about wild animals. It is said that India used to have about 40,000 tigers. But now the number is drastically dropped, and it has only now 14,000 tigers. And tiger is very beautiful. The tiger is powerful, and also is very beautiful and nice, so they wish to protect. And then they also talk about animals that are rare that need to be protected, because some animals, like some deers in India, of course, very, very rare. And so no one is allowed to shoot them, because if you shoot them, then one gets very severe punishment and so on. So those are very good things. They are, of course, very good. We, of course, fully support. But it's not just, we are not just need to protect the rare animals and the beautiful animals. The life is for everybody. But there's no environmentalist who says that we need to protect the mosquitoes. Because the mosquitoes are very ugly. And also they are very noisy. They disturb you. And they bite you, and painful, and not only they carry disease. They carry such like malaria and so on. So therefore, of course, mosquito is better to destroy. Many people think that, but mosquito is also life. Life is precious everywhere. So in the Buddhist idea is that everybody, whether those who are beautiful and big and have some of the animals are helpful also, like the birds are very beautiful to look at them, and birds sing very beautiful songs, and so we love to hear them. But the mosquito makes very noisy and disturbs us. So therefore, nobody says that the mosquito needs to be protected. And people worry because the ponds and so on, this will breed many mosquitoes, and if the mosquitoes breed them, it will carry disease, so many diseases and kills and so on. So therefore, I think that's the difference. The difference is that in the Buddhist prospect, Buddhist teachings tells that every living being that we need to be protected, whether they are harmful or whether they are benefit to us or harmful to us, whether they are beautiful or whether they are rare or plenty, or also, in India, some wild animals, I think there are plenty with them, so that it is allowed to shoot them. So from the Buddhist point of view, this is not correct. But of course, in practically, not everybody will agree on this, but tonight, as I was actually told to speak about the Buddhist perspective, so therefore that I just thought about this. And so the main thing, if we realize that life is precious to ourselves, and also the life is precious for the mosquitoes. For themselves, their own life is very precious. Actually, the mosquito life is very short. You know, it's very, they don't last very long. They only last, some of them, even just maybe a day or two, they do not last. Even that also, they don't have the time to leave. People, whenever the people see the mosquitoes, they kill. this is the difference. So the Buddhist idea of love and compassion and to protect is much more deeper and wider. Yet we could not do in practice. In practice, people are doing meditation, people saying that they are reciting prayers, that may all sentient beings be happy and to be with the cause of happiness. But whereas when they are nearby, there are animals suffering, there are animals crying, they don't so much bothering about them. Whereas environmentalists and other people, they do not may say prayers and they do not meditate, but they go in the field, the animals that are suffering, that the animals that are crying, who are hungry, who are sick, they are helping. And I think this is very good. So therefore, I think to combining them together, the Buddhist teachings and also the compassionate people's active works, if we combining them, if we come to at least kind of comes together, then I think it will be great benefit. It will be much more powerful and much more wider. So the Buddha himself, right from the beginning, he already said the life is precious, and so therefore, to live not only the human beings, for the sake of every living beings, that we need to make this world beautiful and free and clean. So he said the monks are not allowed to chop the trees or pluck the flowers or cut the grass or make the, and so on. There's a story that the one monk who was meditating, and I think this monk is bald, he has no hairs on his head. So while he was meditating, then suddenly a leaf, I think it's like a banana leaf or something, some big leaves, fall on his head. It disturbed him. He got very angry. And then he crushed this leaf into pieces. And also said that why Buddha makes such a strange rules that we can't pluck the leaves, we can't pluck the flowers. And so he even sort of got angry with Buddha. And then later in his next life, he was born as a Naga with a huge tree on his head. And it's grown on his head. Of course, there are such animals. As we can see ourselves, that in the ocean there are like corals that are actually living life, moving, but looks like trees, looks like plants, but they're actually living beings, like that kind. So on his head, the trees grow, and it's very painful. The root goes down, and it's very painful and very heavy, and he's very much suffering. So when one time Buddha was traveling with his some of the kings, and the king asked him, the Buddha, why this person has this strange tree on his head and he's suffering. And the Buddha said that in one of his earlier Buddha's times, monk, and when he was monk, that he got angry and crushed the leaves, and also he sort of said, disrespect with the rules that Buddha laid down. So as a consequence that in this life that he has born in such a life. So in this way that it shows that Buddha how much he concerned about the trees, flowers, water, and streams and pools and so on. And so therefore, the modern environmentalist, I think it's very important to take the ideas from the Buddha's teachings, especially the rules of the Vinaya. And so with this, then, of course, we can't protect everything. We can't protect everyone. But whatever we can do, because environment protection is not something that one or certain individuals or certain organizations can do. It is something that everybody must do something. Everybody has the responsibility. And first of all, it is very important to make aware the danger, what's going to be in the future, if we do not care, if we do not take care of the environment. It's already, in many ways, it's already too late. But still, if we make efforts, it will at least, we could not do it for everybody, for everywhere. But if we are aware, and if we make the efforts, and if we many individuals make the efforts, then certainly it will produce a definite and concrete result. And so therefore, the main thing everybody to realize this, that life is precious. If the life is precious, then we must do something. We have to make this life beneficial and to sustain longer and beneficial. And also our future generations, especially for the future generations, I think it's very important that we must make this world. Because already the many things are changing. Many of my friends from Tibet also told me the climate in Tibet is also very much changing. And especially the mountains, snow mountains, many of them are melting. The rate of the melting is very, very fast. And also the water climate, everything is changing, everything is disturbing. And we believe that it's not only the visible, the mountains, trees, and so on, but the invisible, the mountain, in Tibet, every mountain has its own local deities, like gods and goddesses who reside. And the ancient belief is that they also be disturbed. If they are disturbed, if they are not happy, if they are not healthy, then it will also create disasters in the outside world. So therefore, I think due to these kind of things, because people become too greedy. They cut so many trees and do all kind of mining and so on. Many things doing disturbing the trees, the mountains, the ground, water, everything. So this, I think, when you disturb like this, it affects the spirit also. It affects the deities. Many people do not believe, of course, the gods, the local deities and gods and so on. But I think there is definitely it makes something different. And so due to this, now we face many disasters, like the earthquakes, tsunamis, fire, tornadoes, and all kind of problems arise. I think it's all connected to each other. I believe that it's all connected to each other. So not only that we should protect the environment, but also to rejuvenate the Mother Earth itself, that we must do the rituals. There are many rituals like burying the treasure vases and the bathing rituals, incense offerings, etc. So by doing these things, then I think it will certainly have a very good effect. Places like in Taiwan, in Taiwan is an earthquake zone. Earthquake zone. It's Taiwan, Japan. All this is kind of route is all earthquake area, and they have many earthquakes quite very often, and sometimes also very severe ones also. But then lately, many of the Taiwanese and many of the spiritual masters, Buddhist masters, perform rituals, like offering rituals and fire rituals, bathing rituals, and burying the treasure bus, rituals, etc. And by doing this, many people told me since then there was much lesser earthquake and lesser, there they call it typhoon, then, you know, like here we, here you have the tornadoes, there is called typhoon. Typhoon also they used to have quite strong. Many things were much lesser. So I think by, not everybody believes, but I think by trying from every angle, from every side, I think the things will definitely improve. And so that I think it is very important to make aware everybody. It is not something that a few individuals or the few organizations can do. Everybody has the responsibility because we are all part of human beings. And we have to think about the future human beings, future generations. And to leave them, to make this for the sake of their benefit and for the sake of their well-being, that we must do now. Otherwise, in the future, future generations will have to live like in a ghost town or the hungry ghost town. And if they have to live in such a place and in such an environment, then of course it will be great, sad, very sad. So therefore, while we are alive, while we can do something, that it's very important to make the efforts. To make the efforts, first, I think it's important to realize in the depth of our heart that how important, how life is precious, and how important to make this life healthy and happier and longer. And more sustainable, so in this way, that I think it is very important to take the teachings from the Buddha, which is the Buddha is omniscient. Buddha possesses omniscient wisdom. The Buddha sees, Buddha's wisdom is infinite. It sees past, present, and future all. In just like he's seeing in our own palms, very clearly, each and every cause and effect. And so therefore, the teachings he gave are, of course, great and wondrous and most authentic. And so by receiving lesson teachings from him, from the Buddha's teachings, then we work for the benefit of the world, for the benefit of the environment, I think it will be a great benefit. And so with this now I conclude my talk. And I hope everyone will make some efforts to preserve and sustain the good environment. Thank you. Thank you.